Welcome to the deep dive, where we crack open a stack of sources and pull out the insights that truly matter. Today, we're diving into Priyanshu's Secrets of the Jigyas, a book promising to unlock 66 timeless laws of achievement.
Yeah, and this isn't just another book on, you know, productivity or wealth alone.
Right.
It's framed as a really holistic guide. Success across, well, every part of life.
And that's what feels different, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, so many approaches tend to silo things off. Career here, yeah. Finances there, maybe mindset over here.
Yeah, compartments.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Secrets of the Jigyas really pushes for balanced growth. It talks about inner strength, clarity, but also relationships, leadership, the whole picture.
It feels like it's trying to distill, I guess, centuries of experience into practical principles, things you can actually use.
That's the idea, actionable principles.
Yeah.
And the author stresses they're not rigid rules, you know.
More like guidelines.
Adaptable. Adaptable, yeah.
Yeah.
It, depending on where you are. New career, building a business, just trying to improve your well-being.
Yeah.
They're meant to resonate broadly.
Okay, so our mission today is to unpack some of the most compelling ideas here. Try and grasp what really sets high achievers apart, maybe in ways we don't always expect.
Sounds good. Where should we start?
Well, let's start with something foundational. Priyanshu calls it the law of clarity.
Yes.
The book puts it like this. Clarity is the cornerstone of success. A clear vision paves the way for focused actions. Define your vision and watch your path unfold. Pretty direct.
It is. And what's interesting, I think, is how clarity isn't presented as just like a single aha moment.
Right. Not just a light bulb turning on.
No, it's more iterative. Mm. A continuous process of refining where you're headed.
Yeah.
So many people get stuck because they jump to the how before really nailing the what and the why.
Hmm. Makes sense. Without that clear destination, you could have the best map, the best plan, but...
But you're essentially drifting. Your plans can just fall apart because there's no precise direction, no compass bearing.
It's about knowing where you're going, fundamentally, even if the exact path isn't fully mapped out yet.
Precisely.
The book uses Lisa's story, an aspiring entrepreneur, loved baking, dreamed of a bakery, but the initial vision, a bakery that sells amazing food.
Which sounds nice, but it's incredibly vague, isn't it?
Totally. So vague it led to inaction, uncertainty. The dream just kind of floated away.
Until she went to a business seminar, apparently. And this speaker really hammered home the need for defining that vision.
Okay, so that was the turning point.
Seems like it. She went home, journaled, and turned that fuzzy dream into something specific. A vegan bakery offering plant-based desserts as delicious as traditional ones.
Ah, okay, that's much clearer.
Instantly. That specificity let her identify her target audience, you know, health-conscious millennials, families, then develop a menu that actually spoke to them.
And you can see how that cascades, right?
Absolutely. The vision sharpens everything. Product development, sourcing sustainable ingredients, even crafting a marketing plan focused on Instagram and Facebook. It all flows from that clarity.
So even with the usual hurdles, getting loans, finding suppliers.
That clear vision acted as her guide, her anchor.
Yeah.
And the result, within 2 years, Plant-Based Bliss wasn't just surviving, it was a local hit.
It's a great illustration how that simple, focused statement of clarity can really be the pivot point, turning a dream into, well, reality.
A thriving reality.
So you've got the clarity, you know where you're going,
yep.
But what often gets in the way then, usually it's us, our own heads.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us neatly to the next law.
The law of belief. Priyanshu says, believe in yourself and your abilities. Your belief system shapes your reality. Then, cultivate a positive mindset and trust in your potential.
And the book frames belief not just as, you know, positive thinking.
Oh, just wishful thinking.
No, it's positioned as this invisible force that genuinely shapes our actions, our choices, and ultimately our destiny. The argument is that a strong belief system actually primes our brain to spot opportunities.
Oh, interesting. Like a filter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It helps filter out the distractions or the doubts that could derail us. Well, doubt. That acts like self-imposed shackles. We subtly sabotage ourselves without even realizing it.
It's that internal narrative dictating the external results.
It's a powerful feedback loop.
And so many people can probably relate to that. Aisha's story, the corporate professional in the book, hits home.
Yeah. She dreamed of being a team leader.
But that inner voice, right? You're not ready. What if your ideas are bad?
Constantly holding her back. So she stayed quiet in meetings, felt invisible, and her career just stalled.
Until another seminar moment, it seems.
Yes, a leadership speaker said something like, believe you are capable and the world will respond in kind. That clicked for her.
So she decided to actively change the script in her head.
She did. Started journaling affirmations. I am confident my ideas are valuable, basic stuff, but consistently done.
And crucially, seeking feedback not as judgment, but as data.
Right. Data for improvement.
Yeah.
And focusing on small wins to build momentum.
And did it work?
Apparently, yes. She started speaking up, volunteered for tougher projects, nailed a K-client presentation.
Wow.
And within a year, she got the team leader role.
So it wasn't just about feeling better. It actually unlocked tangible potential.
Changed her trajectory completely. It's a strong case for how much that internal belief system matters.
Okay, so we have clarity pointing the way, belief fueling the engine.
Mm.
But the road's rarely smooth, is it?
Never. Which leads us directly to the law of persistence.
Priyanshu states, persistence is the hallmark of success. Keep pushing forward, even when the going gets tough. Your perseverance will pay off.
And the key insight here, I think, is that persistence isn't just stubbornness or brute force.
It's more strategic.
It's about resilience.
Mm.
Treating setbacks not as stop signs, but as building blocks.
Yeah.
Information. It's often that single quality separating those who make it from those who quit, maybe right before things turn around.
You hear that a lot, don't you? People giving up just before the breakthrough. The story of David, the aspiring author, really drives this home, poured everything into his novel.
And then face rejection. After rejection. After rejection.
Some publishers didn't even reply. Others called it unmarketable. Ouch.
Yeah, devastating.
Mm.
He was apparently very close to giving up. You can imagine the emotional toll.
Absolutely. How do you keep going after that?
Well, his shift was crucial. He stopped internalizing the rejections as verdicts on his worth.
And started seeing them as lessons.
Lessons. Feedback. He joined a writer's group, got constructive criticism, spent months revising, polishing the plot, DPing characters, refining his pitch every single time.
And it takes dedication.
Serious dedication. And then, after the 23rd rejection.
23rd?
Yep. He got an offer.
And it wasn't just published.
Became a bestseller. Won a prestigious award.
Wow. That's quite the turnaround.
It really underscores that success often isn't about avoiding failure at all.
It's about embracing it, learning from it, and just keeping going.
That capacity to persevere when everything screams stop can be the ultimate differentiator.
Okay, so persistence is vital, but sometimes just pushing harder isn't the answer if the whole landscape changes.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Sometimes the ground shifts beneath your feet.
Which brings us to the law of adaptability. Priyanshu says, adaptability is essential in a rapidly changing world. Embrace change.
Mm?
Be flexible.
And this feels incredibly relevant today, doesn't it? The pace of change is just relentless.
For sure.
The book argues that clinging to old ways isn't just inefficient. It actually stifles growth. Adaptability isn't about ditching your core values.
It's about finding new ways to live them out.
Exactly. Finding new paths to your goals. It lets you overcome challenges, sure, but also spot opportunities others miss because they're stuck in the old way of doing things.
The story of Rachel, the retail store manager, seems like a classic example.
It really is. Her store was doing well for years. Proven methods.
Until e-commerce happened.
Right. Foot traffic drops, revenue dwindles, and her first instinct, resist. Hope her personal touch wins out.
Which is understandable, but...
But the numbers told a different story. She hit a point where she realized, okay, this isn't working anymore. Clinging on is not an option.
So she pivoted.
Fully embraced it. Took digital marketing workshops, e-commerce courses, launched an online store, user-friendly website, online discounts, social media push, even click and collect.
That's a major shift for a traditional store.
Huge.
Mm.
And there were challenges definitely managing that hybrid model.
Yeah.
But the online side quickly became a major revenue stream.
So she didn't just save the business.
She transformed it, turned a potential failure into a new, thriving model fit for the future. It shows how flexibility can open doors you didn't even know existed.
It's easy to get so focused on the goal, the work, the adaptation that other things fall by the wayside, though.
Absolutely. Tunnel vision is a real risk.
Which is why the law of balance is so important. Priyanshu states, strive for balance. Success is not just about professional achievements, but also personal well-being.
And the emphasis here is that balance isn't just a nice to have. It's framed as the actual foundation for a sustainable, fulfilling life.
Right. Without it, you get burnout, strained relationships.
Exactly. Even if you reach the professional peak, it can feel empty if everything else has crumbled. True success, the book argues, is multidimensional.
The story of Michael, the corporate lawyer, is quite stark.
Yeah. top performer, really killing it at work.
But at what cost? Long hours, constant stress.
His personal life, wife, kids, his own health took a serious backseat. Chronic stress, exhaustion, the whole package.
Until the wake-up call.
A routine health check. Alarmingly high blood pressure. That was the moment he realized, you know, what's the point of the career if I'm not healthy or present for my family?
So you made concrete changes.
Big ones. Setting firm boundaries, no emails or calls after certain hours, prioritizing health exercise, meditation, better diet, reconnecting with loved ones, scheduling family dinners, outings.
And learning to delegate, letting go of perfectionism.
Which is huge for high achievers. The result. Health improved, relationships deepened, and he found a renewed sense of purpose. Happiness, even.
It's a powerful reminder that balance isn't weakness. It's about consciously prioritizing what truly matters for a rich, sustainable life. Makes you pause and think, right?
Definitely.
Huh.
Which areas of your life might be out of whack?
Michael's story shows that managing ourselves is as important as managing the work. And that leads into actually managing the doing.
Which is where the law of time management comes in.
Priyanshi's advice, manage your time effectively. Prioritize, focus on what truly matters. It seems obvious, but...
But it's fundamental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Time is that one resource you absolutely cannot get more of.
Non-renewable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And mastering it isn't just about working more. It's about working smarter. Being intentional about where those precious hours actually go. It transforms how you work, how you live.
The story of David, the corporate manager, not the author this time, feels very familiar.
Oh, yeah. Days just swallowed by meetings, interruptions, the endless email avalanche.
Working light but still feeling behind. That sense of failure, being emotionally checked out at home, a lot of people feel that pressure.
His wake-up call was missing his daughter's school event. That hit hard, realizing poor time management wasn't just hurting his career, but his family life too.
So what did he do?
First, he tracked his time, which is often incredibly revealing. You see exactly where the hours leak away.
The little things add up.
They really do. So he implemented specific strategies. Time blocking, setting aside dedicated, uninterrupted chunks for deep work, maybe in the morning, saving afternoons for meetings.
And using tools like the Eisenhower Matrix.
Yes, that urgent, important categorization.
Mm-hmm.
To ruthlessly prioritize what actually needed his attention. He also learned to delegate more, set clearer boundaries, even used a timer to stay focused on one task at a time.
No multitasking.
Tried to avoid it, yeah.
Yeah.
The impact, significant improvement, better output, projects done ahead of schedule, got recognized for efficiency, and crucially, became more present at home.
It shows how practical tools and techniques can give you back control. It's not just about willpower.
Absolutely. Specific strategies make a real difference.
So managing your time helps execute tasks. But long-term success often needs more foresight, looking further ahead.
Right. Thinking strategically.
Which is the law of strategic thinking. Think strategically. Plan your actions with the bigger picture in mind.
And strategy, in this context, is what really separates the leaders from the followers, doesn't it? It's about anticipating challenges, not just reacting to them.
Seeing the whole chessboard, not just the next move.
Exactly. Aligning all your actions with those crucial long-term goals instead of just putting out fires with short-term fixes.
Elena's story, the bakery manager, illustrates this really well. Her quaint little bakery was struggling against big chains.
Yeah, tough competition, big advertising budgets, low prices. Hard to compete head-on.
Her initial tactics, discounts, and things were just temporary band-aids.
Right. She realized she needed a different angle, a strategic one. So she analyzed her unique strength.
The homemade recipes, the loyal customers who valued quality.
Exactly. Instead of fighting on price, she doubled down on her brand identity, quality ingredients, the care in her baking, and critically personalized service. Remembering names, preferences.
Building relationships.
And engaging with the community, local events, baking classes, sponsoring schools. Building that local connection.
It worked.
It really did. Word spread organically. Sales climbed. The bakery became more than just a shop. It became a community hub.
She found her unique edge.
Precisely. She didn't try to be the chains. She focused on what made her special. That's strategy finding and amplifying your unique advantage.
Okay, so Elena had the strategy. But strategy without action is, well, nothing.
Just a nice idea on paper.
Which brings us to the law of execution. Priyanshu puts it bluntly. Execute your plans with precision. Action without execution is just a dream.
And this is often the hardest part, isn't it? That bridge between the idea and the reality. It's about consistent action follow-through, turning potential into actual results.
So many great ideas never see the light of day because of this step.
Absolutely.
Raj, the aspiring entrepreneur with the online learning platform idea, he's a case study in this.
Yeah, strong vision, detailed plans, tons of research.
But then paralysis,
Yeah.
fear of perfection, fear of failure. Months went by, nothing happened.
He was stuck in analysis paralysis until a chat with another entrepreneur gave him a nudge.
What was the advice?
Basically, that successful ventures often start with imperfect action. You don't need everything perfectly polished to begin.
Get something out there.
Exactly. So Raj launched a basic version, minimal resources, set a hard launch date, promoted it, and crucially, embraced early user feedback to iterate and improve quickly.
So build, measure, learn, essentially.
Pretty much. And it worked. The platform gained traction, the user base grew steadily. That fledgling idea became a real, thriving business.
It's a powerful lesson. Execution, even imperfect execution, beats perfect inaction every time. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Where are we overthinking and under-executing?
Good question.
Moving beyond our own execution, success often involves others. It has a ripple effect.
Definitely, which leads nicely into the law of influence.
Influence others positively. Your impact can inspire and motivate. Be the light that guides others.
And the book makes a clear distinction here.
Yeah.
This isn't about authority or manipulation.
Not about power over people.
No. True influence, as Priyanshu describes it, is about inspiring, empowering, creating positive ripples through your authenticity, your empathy, how you lead by example. It's more about illumination than direction.
The story of Anjali, the teacher, is incredibly powerful here.
It really is. Teaching in a tough environment, scarce resources, disengaged students, outdated methods.
But she was determined. She wanted to change things.
And she did, didn't she? Introduced interactive storytelling, hands-on experiments, community projects like cleaning a local river.
Getting students involved beyond the classroom walls.
Yes. And she mentored students personally, especially one named Raj, who was quite disengaged. Her genuine belief in him, her encouragement, it sparked something.
He gave himself worth.
It seems so. He found a passion for environmental science, went on to become a prominent environmentalist, and actually credited her with showing him the way.
Wow. And it wasn't just him.
No. Her methods inspired other students, transformed the whole school's atmosphere. It became a beacon of hope in that community.
It's amazing how one person acting authentically without formal power can create such a lasting positive impact.
Truly inspiring.
And Anjali's story, influencing others for a common good, is a perfect lead-in to our final law for today, the law of synergy.
Ah, yes. Collaboration.
Priyanshu advises, combine efforts and resources to achieve greater results. Synergy amplifies success through collaboration.
And this is transformative because synergy isn't just addition, it's multiplication. The whole becomes greater than the sum of its parts.
Right, 1 + 1 = 3 or even more.
Exactly. Effective collaboration covers weaknesses, amplifies strengths, and sparks innovation in ways that just aren't possible when people work in isolation.
The story of Priya, the urban planner, demonstrates this beautifully. She dreamed of a community garden in a disconnected neighborhood.
And faced skepticism, right?
Yeah.
People doubted if such a diverse group could actually work together.
Different backgrounds, different generations, potential for conflict.
But her insight was key.
Yeah.
She saw the potential in that diversity, not just the obstacles.
How did she bring them together?
She reached out individually, identified unique skills, interests. Retirees planned the layout and irrigation. Artists designed murals. Teenagers did planting and maintenance. Parents and kids organized events in the garden.
So everyone had a role based on their strengths and interests.
Precisely. And the impact. The garden thrived, obviously, but it also became this vibrant hub. Connection, learning, community spirit. People shared meals, celebrated together.
It transformed the space and the social fabric.
Absolutely. Her vision, combined with that collective energy and diverse input, turned an empty plot into a thriving ecosystem, and it inspired similar projects elsewhere in the city.
It's a fantastic example of how diversity, when harnessed properly, isn't a barrier, but actually the fuel for innovation and collective success.
Couldn't agree more.
So we've covered a lot today, really just scratching the surface of secrets of the GIJ.
Definitely just a taste.
But you can hear how these laws form this powerful interconnected framework for growth, can't you?
Absolutely. From inner clarity and belief through persistence and adaptability, all the way to collaboration and synergy, it's holistic.
And the thread running through it all seems to be this link between external achievement and internal development.
That's what really stands out for me, too. The book consistently argues that true fulfillment isn't just about hitting targets. It comes from balanced growth.
Each law, whether it's time management or influence, seems to tie back to understanding yourself better, understanding your potential.
Deeper potential.
So this deep dive really suggests success isn't just about what you achieve in the end. It's also deeply about how you grow along the way and the positive impact you have on others.
Well said.
So as we wrap up, maybe a question for you, the listener, to ponder. Which of these laws we discussed today resonates most strongly with you right now?
Where do you feel the pull?
And perhaps more importantly, what's one small, intentional step you could take, maybe even today, to start embodying that principle more fully in your own life?
Because that journey to extraordinary success, it often starts with just that single focused decision, one step.
That's